If you look at COVID-19 right now, it seems like it could have a period where you're infected and show no symptoms that's as long as 24 days. So people are walking around with this virus showing no signs. They're not going to get quarantined. Nobody knows they need quarantining.
I want to thank the people at Google and Google Communications because, as you know, they substantiated what I said on Friday. The head of Google, who's a great gentleman, said called us and he apologized. I don't know where the press got their fake news, but they got it someplace. But as you know, this is from Google. They put out a release, and you guys can figure it out yourselves and how that got out. And I'm sure you'll apologize. But it would be great if we could really give the news correctly. It would be so, so wonderful.
It was all good just a week ago. Welcome to the show. I, of course, am your host, Isaac Weishaupt. And, well, I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of you wanted me to talk about this, and I want to talk about this. And I kept compiling notes, and I kept compiling data, and I kept thinking about this, because I wanted to give you a clear, definitive show with factual support. I want to put your mind at ease, because the news is losing their minds. And at first, we all thought, well, this is just some mainstream media fear tactics to push us into Bill Gates' vaccination program. That's what we all thought, right? But then what made me take pause is the massive corporate shutdown. Because when you look into conspiracies, there's one thing that always rings true is that the elitists want to keep their money and make more of it. So that's what makes me really wonder about this thing. And look, I'm going to tell you right up, right now, straight up, I don't know what to do about this. I don't know whether to tell you to relax, it's going to be fine. I don't know whether to tell you to hunker down in your doomsday bunker, get ready to eat the dog food you've been stockpiling up. I don't know what to tell you. So, you know, maybe this show isn't for you. We are going to go over many of the conspiracies about this stuff, some of the ideas behind this. Tom Hanks, the Utah Jazz, the digital matrix, martial law, all kinds of stuff on here. 5G, predictive programming. And then I'll give you what little bit of advice, hopefully, I can give. But I did want to address this because people have been talking to me for days. Where are you, Isaac? Let's hear your stupid opinion on this. And, you know, I don't like to get too opinionated. I like to give you facts, supporting data, and let you make the choice. But hey, you know what? You wanted it. I want to talk about it too. I feel like we all need to join together here. So let's just get into it. First off, I might have it. So there's that. Real talk. That's for real. I was traveling last week. And right before all of this popped off, I had even thought about this. I thought, man, maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I should try to get out of this thing. But I did it anyway. And when I was flying, there was an elderly woman three rows in front of me coughing incessantly the whole flight, and everybody was losing their minds. And I believe the stewardess, I couldn't hear what was being said, but the stewardess leaned in and I'm sure asked her, like, hey, bitch, can you put a mask on? Everyone's losing their minds. And, you know, in typical fashion, she did not want to, so she did not, and she kept coughing. So I'm pretty sure she gave me coronavirus, one, right? But that was actually on the way to my destination. On the return trip, I still felt fine. I was like, okay, good, dodge that big bullet. And then I got home, and I was immediately hit with what felt like the flu, except for a fever. I had everything but the fever, the body aches. I couldn't move off the couch. I was dying. Did not feel good. But it was a weird sort of thing. It was a weird sort of bug because I've had the flu a couple times because I don't take the flu vaccine. Maybe I should, right? And we talked about vaccinations before. You know my thoughts on them. And we're going to get into that topic here in a second. But you know my thoughts on vaccinations. I believe they work. I believe that they do have collateral damage, though. I believe that it does something to certain small percentage of the population. And that sucks for them. So, anyway. I had sort of like flu-like symptoms. I felt like crap. And now it's sort of... I've got this dry little cough. I don't know what to make of it. I can't go get tested. If you've looked up any of the stories of people who try to go get tests, good luck with that. It's a nightmare out there. Which goes back to, you know, a lot of these conspiracy folks are very right-wing minded, which is not me, but they do get it right in some parts, right? They get it right in the sense that self-preparedness, right? Get your immune system up. Get enough sleep. And how I got sick, because I take a whole gang of stuff, supplements, I do all the stuff, and I eat pretty healthy. But what got me was I didn't get enough sleep. I had two nights where I did not sleep, and that wrecked me. And that gets me every time. Every time I travel, I can't sleep, and it gets me almost every time. So anyways, take care of yourself. Get sleep. That's the biggest thing. And try not to stress out. The stress is what induces a lot of this dip in the immune system. Anyhow, so I get back into town. And while I was gone, I was reading the news and I was like, toilet paper? Why aren't people buying all the toilet paper? And then by the time I got back, everything, the lid popped off and I said, oh boy, we're in some trouble here. And I had a lot of people out there connected with people in the know, we'll say. More than one person. I'd say probably five people say, hey, Isaac, you better get ready. They're going to do the quarantine. They're going to isolate us. You better get to the grocery store. It's about to be some apocalyptic stuff. So me and Mrs. Wisehop went to the grocery store. And I happened to have the day off. Because like I said, I just got back from traveling and I didn't feel great. This is before it hit me big time, right? So I went to the grocery store and it was funny and it was nuts. You know, the line was backed up. And this is before the news was talking about it. And I was like, holy crap, what is happening? Everyone was uneasy walking around with their grocery carts full, acting like they're smiling to each other, like, hey, everything's fine. And I was in the checkout. And then the most fitting analogy for this whole situation, I think, happened. It was like the horses of the apocalypse visited me. It was a boomer and a jazzy, and he was blaring the Eagles from, I guess, a boombox? I couldn't tell. He was blaring the Eagles throughout the grocery store on his jazzy while everybody was already in like a panic state. It was like surreal. It was seriously the boomer apocalypse. I'll try to insert the little clip right here. Yeah, because I wanted to try to get a little video clip of it. Anyway, but what are we talking about? In case you've been literally hiding under a rock, this is the Wu-Tang Clan virus. I talked about this a few weeks ago with the Event 201, a simulation of this exact thing happening by an outfit funded partially by Bill Gates, of course, who we're going to talk about later. But it started out in like late November, early December 2019. And we talked about Dean Koontz's books, talking about this sort of Wuhan coronavirus thing, predictive programming again. And I've said this many times. These nerds are going to kill all of us. And that's what I think is happening. From what I gather, there's no definitive source for this thing or where it came from. There's a Resident Evil-esque lab in Wuhan. That's where the SARS outbreak happened, and I would posit this is where this one came from, but they're saying it came from like an animal market, a Chinese guy eating a bat. I mean, there's a lot of theories on this, right? But I've said it before. And like I said at the beginning of the show, I just wanted to get the show together and send it out to you. I know everyone's panicking right now, so this isn't as well put together as I normally try to make these shows. So fact check everything. So that's a cop out, right? Tell you to fact check everything. But yeah, today is a prime example of this dual-edged sword of science. I've talked about this in the past. The science isn't necessarily wrong, but these scientists, these nerds, they're tweaking these viruses in these labs like, oh, I wonder what would happen if we did this. How about you don't do that, bro? How's about we don't do it? And instead, this is what happens. And on the other side of this, because like I said, you know, science has its place, right? A lot of people interpret the data, and that's where the evil happens, right? It's the interpretation and deception used of the data. And this all has its roots in nutrition, right? You just look up fitness and nutrition and diet, and this is where you'll learn quickly that science, while it is correct and, you know, I'm not going to say infallible, it's the interpretation of the results, to me, that's the problem, because you got these corporate interests, these lobbyists, these people that have these motivations to deceive us with the data. So, yeah, but this data, the science is, these nerds are going to kill us, but again, it's the nerds and the science that's going to save us, too, at the same hand. That's, you know, a lot of the scientific basis for how to prevent the spread of this thing. We got to look at that. We got to consider that. Case in point, look at Joe Rogan. And in fact, I'm gonna point you towards his show if you have any questions or concerns about coronavirus, because I obviously am not a scientist, nor do I know anything about infectious disease. But Joe Rogan had a guest recently on. I'm looking his name up, and I'm stalling while I'm looking his name up. Michael Osterholm, episode 1439. He does a pretty good show, and he talks about a lot of these coronavirus topics and what could happen and such. So if you're looking for that sort of show, that's a good one for you. Now, so to me, from the conspiratorial point of view, the big question we have is this real? Is this really happening? And if you forced me, if you put a gun to my head and made me decide if this is real or not, because like I said, I've gone back and forth on this. I don't know what to think of it. My man Sam Tripoli over at Tinfoil Hat, he's hell-bent on this as just psyop, propaganda. And maybe it is, right? It's not like we haven't been lied to in the past. But to me, if you forced me to tell you an opinion right now, I would argue that yes, it's real. And why do I say that? Well, it's because there's too many people losing tons of money. The economies are taking a nosedive. The stock markets are nosediving. If there is an Illuminati, which I argue there would be, or argue there is, they are the wealthiest elites running all of the different corporations and all this stuff, all the major industries. And I don't see how they could all support this idea of losing this much money and causing this much chaos. Now, like some of my more controversial ideas, like how we never went to the moon, like I think that's possible because you can get so many people to cover something up. Look at the Manhattan Project, right? There was like 20,000 people working on that and they didn't know. But with this, with the coronavirus, you've got medical people all over the world looking at this. I've never looked at the coronavirus under a microscope. I couldn't tell you how to identify it besides it has the crowns or whatever, right? But I would argue that someone would be calling a hoax on this if it wasn't real. So I believe the virus is real. Let's start there. Let's start with that. Now, the stories of the origins of this virus, that's where you can get into a little gray zone of who started it, why did they start it, maybe, right? However, I get how some of the people in our little community here think this is not real. Seems very much like everyone's overreacting to what is essentially just another cold virus. And on top of that, why haven't we seen any of the families or the victims being interviewed? You know, I've been watching the news for 4 days now. and they're clamoring for stories. They're crushing it right now. They're making tons of money, and they're competing with one another, and they've got all these experts on, all these experts. Why isn't there one journalist out there who wants to make a name for him or herself out there interviewing these families that are affected by this? Someone who actually has it? Isn't that odd? And isn't it also odd how, you know, in America here, we've got, what, 400 million people, and we're at like maybe 4,000 confirmed cases, which I'd argue is going to be, it's way higher because no one's got any of these kits. No one's got any test kits. Anyway, we'll say it's what it is, 4,000 confirmed cases. Yet like half of them are celebrities, like the Utah Jazz and Tom Hanks and the spouses of prime ministers and governors. They're all known celebrity type people. What the hell is happening there? See, it on the surface seems like a disproportionate number of people in the public eye that have this thing. Because, I mean, how many famous actors do you know? There's not, you know, what's the percentage of population of famous celebrity type folks? It's very small. What's the odds of Tom Hanks getting it? And we're going to talk about Tom Hanks again in a little bit. Because I know all you MAGA Pizzagate folks are busting at the seams on that one. Now, Trump. Let's talk about your boy Trump. He's lied many times about this thing. And I don't want to get political. You know I don't. Because I don't subscribe to one gang party over the other. But if someone repeatedly lies to me, I at some point no longer listen to them. You know, Trump was saying this virus was a hoax. It was a liberal media hoax. And he said it's going to go away when it warms up. He said that he never fired the pandemic team, which he did, by the way. On February 26th, he said that it's going very substantially down, not up. Clearly, that's a lie. He said within a couple of days, it's going to be close to zero. That was a lie. Because at the time, if you recall, the stock market and the economy was crashing, and that's Trump's big thing, right? That's how he's going to get reelected, is on the economy, on the strength of it. But if it's tanking, guess what? You know? Which is what supports some of these crazy or fringy theories that the liberals are using this to tank the Trump presidency. Now, all of, you know, and what bothers me about Trump is that he says it. You can hear him. He's all based on a hunch I have. Sorry, dude. Like, I'm not listening to your hunch. I need some information from some experts, right? He also said anyone who needs a test can get a test. Not true. I know. I was looking into it. I wanted to get tested because I was freaking out a little bit, right? But it was very clear that I was going to be denied that because the CDC told you. It said you had to have the fever with the cough, with the something else, and you had to have been in close contact with someone who's confirmed with this, with coronavirus. Well, like, how do you know? I mean, like, how do we know a bunch of these people aren't walking around with it? I don't know if I've been in close contact or not. But when you look up a lot of stories, people are saying, like, they're going, you know, the healthcare system is getting crushed right now with people. So you want to go wait 4 hours for them just to tell you, no, you're not getting a test. We don't have any test kits. Nobody's going to do that. So what are the real numbers here? And also on top of that, the conflicting messages. We're being told that you could have the coronavirus and have zero symptoms. You could have no symptoms. You could have some symptoms. You could have all the symptoms. Yeah, the CDC says we're only testing you if you have all the symptoms. But why are you also telling us that you could have it and not have any symptoms? Trump also said during the Friday, was it Friday? Declared a national emergency, maybe it was Thursday, that Google's going to have a website up by Sunday, and all you do is you type in your symptoms, and it'll tell you where to pull up in one of the great parking lots of our great corporate America, Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Target. It'll tell you where to go. You're going to pull up. They're going to swab you, run the test, and then you get the results. Then Google said, no, we aren't doing that. And then Google came out and said, yes, we are doing that. said, what the hell? What do you think people are going to do? You know, and I always go back to, I have this sort of latest realization of the world and how it works. People, as dumb as they seem, are far more astute than we give them credit for. People see through things. Like, for example, and this is based off of watching television, so take it with a grain of salt, but like, you would think people in prisons are, you know, undereducated dummies. But you watch some of these shows, like 48, or what's it called, 60 Days In. These people are clever, man. They read people. They're innovative. I mean, it's insane. And I know also because my father was a corrections officer in a prison, and he had a box full of like stuff that the inmates had made. There was baby booties made out of gum wrappers. I mean, I was like, dude, like something. There's got to be like a skill there, an innovative skill. Anyway, you can hear my voice is already getting jacked up. It's that coronavirus kicking in. The Google website drive up thing as of right now, Monday, still not there. This is why people are panicking. You can't fool all the people. People aren't that dumb. It's clear we don't know enough about this. We know nothing about it. We don't know who has it. We can't test for it. It's scary. They tell you, well, you know, all the only people affected by this are going to be the old people that already have underlying healthcare issues. Meanwhile, I'm reading articles about 30-year-old, 40-year-old people dying from it. I'm watching a guy in Italy who's got his sister in bed dead behind him, and he's quarantined inside of his room. They won't let him out. And you wonder why people are upset. And on top of that, and we're going to come to that too later. We're going to talk about that a little more. The reaction and why we can't be told there's aliens. But with Trump, you know, I've worked with a million guys like him. They've got more confidence than brains, and it works. It works until it doesn't. And, you know, I've been passed up for promotion from these guys, been disrespected because of them. But you end up with more integrity when you just tell the truth, when you're honest, because in the long run, people figure it out. And I think that's what people are doing right now. They're having a little bit of buyer's remorse. I could be wrong, right? And look, I'm not saying Trump's that bad. He does a lot of good things, right? In fact, I'd argue that the way they're handling this case, you know, isn't that terrible. Except for the fact that they fired all the people beforehand, I guess assuming this would never happen. Even though we've seen movies for 10, 20, 30 years talking about how this is going to happen. But we're not going to politicize everything, right? We got to look at the science. We got to look to the nerds. They got us into this now. We have to let them guide us back out. So is it real? Well, I think we have to look at this like it's 9-1-1, 9-11. I have concerns and doubts on the origin story. Like maybe there are some architects behind this. I have no evidence for that yet. Just a lot of questions. Like why haven't we seen any of the profiles of the victims or the families? Why are there so many celebrities with it? I mean, there's nothing. But the reality is that it's legitimate at this point, right? So maybe the Illuminati created this and whatnot. But what I want to drill home, I want you to be safe, okay? I value you as a listener. Be prepared for it. It's very real. Even if it's just a cold or whatever. If you want to disbelieve science entirely, that's fine too. I get it. Just know the entire world is reacting in a way that you need to be prepared for this thing. There's going to be practically no medical help for a few weeks, so get all the medications that you might need. Get healthy. Get healthy. That's the biggest one. Get your sleep. Minimize your processed food. Minimize sugars. Cut the sodas out. Drink less alcohol. I know that one sucks, right? Get tons of sleep. Choke down those vegetables. And avoid getting sick. Because the hospital system is going to be a nightmare. I'm telling you that right now. And there's lots of healthcare professionals listening to the show. I know because I've interacted with many of you. So, you know, prayers up for all them dealing with this. I got family in the medical system dealing with it right now. So, is it real? Yes. Should we be scared? Well, Lots of people are out there in the camp of, oh, it's just a cold, no worse than the flu. But man, I'm telling you, the corporate responses are shocking. They are shutting everything down. A quarantine is probably coming, from what I've heard from many, many people in America, a full lockdown. I think the deaths are much higher than they're advertising. Also notice how they don't share the information on who really is the most susceptible. They've been casually kind of saying elderly people with health problems, but I think they have no clue. The timing is very suspect. It's right after the impeachment. It's during the primaries, before the election. Crashes the economy, which is the only way you can get Trump out, because the economy and the stocks were on fire. So why haven't we heard anything about the victims? The people that actually died from this? There's no names, no ages. I mean, you get little bits here and there. We don't hear about their health. I mean, wouldn't that put people's minds at ease to know that, you know, oh, well, you know, these are people that were going to die anyway. They were really old, really sick. Maybe they're not telling us because they want us stressed out to keep watching the news. If it shows symptoms of the common cold or even no symptoms at all, as you've seen, could it be possible there are hundreds, thousands of people infected? So should we be scared? No. I'm going to tell you no. Because the stress of being scared, the fear, not only do the reptilian shapeshifters feed off of that, but that puts you at a higher risk of catching something, of not sleeping as well. It seems, well, on paper, the percentages are pretty low. So, I mean, take that for what it's worth. Try not to be scared. Try not to watch too much news. Let's go a little fringier, folks. Kobe Bryant. He died in January 2020. I've had many shows on it. Talking about his books. Talking about his books teaching the kids the ways of the occult. Which was unbelievable to me. But what's more unbelievable is that when you do the Google Translator, you find out that COVID in Hebrew is Kobe. Isn't that something? Now, I've played with that translator. It worked one time and then it changed. So I think it's maybe a little flaky. But what isn't flaky is that Kobe is in fact buried at Corona Del Mar in California. Now, why are we talking about this? Well, is it an unintentional manifestation? Did we all focus enough mental emanations towards Kobe to manifest this into our reality? Sounds crazy. Probably is. Tom Hanks. He's got it. And we're going to talk about his kid, Chet Hanks, who I believe was on All Out Show on Sirius XM many years ago, and he was acting like an ass because he thinks he's a rapper and he thinks he's Jamaican. Anyways, he was talking about how his dad had it because, you know, why not? Why not find a chance to gain some followers on Instagram or whatever? But you can see his tattoos because, of course, he does it with his shirt off. So he has the caduceus and the all-seeing eye inside of a triangle on his chest. Now, what's the caduceus? Of course, it's the two snakes going up the staff. It's the symbol of Hermes, Thoth, Mercury. It's the god of magic. That's what that means. Also, it's known as the symbol for the philosopher's stone in terms of alchemy, because the snakes of wisdom, they call them, the snakes of wisdom, are the feminine and masculine principles intertwined. Now, we talked about the Kundalini stuff on my film analysis for The Lighthouse and The Witch. And the Kundalini stuff, we talked about the feminine and the masculine intertwining, opening up the Kundalini energy inside the body. The Baphomet also has the caduceus on his the depiction of the goat. And Lucian Greaves from the Satanic Temple said the following: "For us, it symbolizes reconciliation of the opposites, such as having a satanic monument opposite a Christian one. We think that that's a powerful message when it's sitting opposite the Ten Commandments. You can have these dualities, differences, without conflict." Now, why am I picking on Chet Hanks and the caduceus so much? I mean, you already know about the all-seeing eye and the triangle, right? We all know that's Illuminate confirmed. But on my Instagram, Blessed on Blessed, hooked it up, tagged me. You can find me on Instagram at Isaac Weishaupt. Link in the description for all my social medias in the show notes there. But Blessed on Blessed hit me on the IG. Turns out she found a posting Chet made, and I'm going to read it to you right now. Jesus Christ and the devil are two opposite polarities of the source, which is God. The nature of God consists of all light and all darkness, but in totality rather than duality. Duality is the illusion of human consciousness. Totality is the true expression of the I am consciousness, which is of God and is the source of all life, including your own true nature. So here Chet is espousing occult doctrine. And we talked about this exact thing on, again, my analysis on The Lighthouse and The Witch. We talk about Carl Jung, who, a Gnostic, of course, spoke fondly about reconciling the opposites. He believed good and evil evolved into two equal balanced principles that belong together. And the dark side of human nature needs to be integrated into wholeness. Jung infamously said, "I would rather be whole than good." Because being whole fulfills the Gnostic reconciliation. Let's start with the Utah Jazz. Somehow, back when this popped off, when no one could get a test, they got 58 tests in Oklahoma. On top of that, they got them without having the CDC requirements for getting them. Because like I said, I was sick myself and I wanted to get a test. And it was very clear that they would not give them one to me because of all the requirements. Yet, all 58 of them got it. And at the time, like 2,000 people in America had, or well, 2,000 to 7,000 people had been tested. I mean, and it's hard to find the true information on all that, by the way. So even though Trump said, if you want a test, you can get a test, that wasn't true. Now, what's curious to me is that they tell us that, oh, only the elderly are dying. They're the only ones at risk here. Yet you have the healthiest athletes on the planet, and all of them needed tested, even though they weren't showing symptoms. That's what tells me this thing is more contagious and more deadly than they're telling us. Not to try to scare you. And speaking of the Jazz, Rudy Gobert, I don't follow sports ball, but he apparently a famous basketball player. The guy, if you recall, he was touching all the microphones. He had it, and he was touching all the microphones, didn't realize he had it, and had to do an apology. Anyways, this is crazy, this is tragic. He was previously, 2 weeks prior to that, at a primary care hospital for children in Salt Lake, visiting the kids, these sick kids. And the rumors, because, you know, I live in Utah, and I'm connected in. And the rumors, which I pray are not true, is that all those kids he was interacting with, they don't have the test kits to test them. They won't test them. Isn't that terrifying? But that's just, you know, that's why people are panicking a little bit. It's crazy. Another theory, another concept that's been twirling around in the mind here. Is God punishing all the boomers? Is he punishing the boomers on the cruise ships? All the boomers out there traveling around, living their best lives, enjoying retirement at, you know, 65 or whatever. That no one else is going to be able to enjoy the sliver of the human experience that get to enjoy a 20, 30 year retirement. and I'm picking on the boomers. I'm sorry. If you're a boomer listening, you know what? I defend boomers. There's a lot of good things, a lot of good traits about the boomers. But yeah, could they be getting punished right now? Trump talked about bailing out the cruise line industry, called them a great U.S. business. And as you saw on my Twitter, not true. On all accounts, they're not a U.S. business. They're not a great business. They take advantage of a lot of people. They dodge paying taxes. They pay like a 1% tax because they're headquartered out of like Panama. And then they abuse their workers. You know, and that's the corporate thing. Is that, you know, it's just, you know, abuse the people. Don't give them any benefits. You know, it's a real elitist sort of strategy these cruise ships take on. They make their workers work 80 hours a week and barely pay them anything. But hey, you know, everyone's got their opinion on that stuff. I'm not going to get into it. They're claiming, there's a lot of memes about this, that our reaction to coronavirus is why they can't tell us about the aliens. And, you know, maybe that's kind of true. But the thing is, because the aliens, and I've said that before, I think that if the government knows about aliens, I think they don't want to tell us because they don't have any answers. And you have to, when you're in a position of leadership and power, you have to have the answers. I don't agree with that. I'd rather someone be honest with me and tell me they don't know the answer, but that's not the way the world works. Trust me, I know this from my work. You have to have an answer. So if they don't have an answer, they ain't going to talk about it. So I think there's some grain of truth there. But we can't support this narrative. Don't spread that narrative, because they'll keep lying to us. I think most people can handle the truth. I'd rather have the truth. Give me the truth. Not everyone's going to be able to handle it, though. There's idiots out there, and they're not going to be able to handle it, and people are going to be scared. But to me, I'm a supporter of the truth. I'd rather have the truth and just, you know, tell me what you know and tell me what you don't know, and I'll try to fill in the gaps myself. But not everyone can do that, right? So it's a fine line we got to play. Now let's go further down the paranoia tab. That's probably why you're here anyway. Bill Gates just so ironically stepped down from the board at Microsoft. No one seems to be talking about it. Not a big deal. Why is he doing that? You know he's the big vaccination guy. I'm going to assume he's focusing on that fat sack of cash from the vaccination en route. The Event 201 thing we talked about a few weeks ago with coronavirus. Another concept is these mandatory quarantines. They're going to happen here. That's what a lot of people are saying to me. Based on the Commerce Clause of the Constitution, and this is driving some of the hysteria, the doomsday preppers, mandatory quarantine. Further down the paranoia cycle, what if Trump calls a mandatory quarantine and makes it run all the way through November? Some sort of indefinite martial law. Now he's a dictator. There's no new president. What if that happens? What are we going to do? I don't know. Be scared. No, I don't think so. I'm not too worried about that kind of stuff. Besides, like I said before, choose your own reality, right? Well, I don't want to live in that kind of reality where I'm scared to death of everything. I'd rather not live in that kind of fear. That's too much stress on the body. But let's talk about this quarantine idea from the New York Times. Quote, when it comes to federal government, it can impose quarantines under the Public Health Service Act for two main reasons: to prevent the spread of a communicable disease into the U.S. or between states. Quarantines are considered a measure of last resort when no preferable means is available to halt the spread of a deadly communicable disease. Those subject to quarantine should be either infectious or have been exposed to the disease. We do not want to restrict people's liberty unless it's necessary, unless we cannot achieve the public health end with less draconian measure. Now, what's curious, in 2007, George Bush, he signed something very interesting that I read. It's called H.R. 5122, also known as the John Warner National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2007. And what it was a bill passed in the Congress and signed by President George W. Bush in October 2006, becoming public law. And what it does is it allocated funding for the armed forces, as most of those National Defense Authorization Acts do. But it also gave the president the power to declare martial law and to take command of the National Guard units of each state without the consent of the state governors. Which, doesn't that defy the purpose of a National Guard? I'm sure Alex Jones is talking about this right now, so maybe go to him for more. Like I said, I don't really listen to a whole lot of conspiracy folks. Besides Tinfoil Hat, Higher Side Chats, Jay Dyer, Freeman Fly. So there's the other voices if you want to listen to other shows that might be talking about this kind of stuff. Now, to me, censorship might be part of this agenda. The UK is taking steps to control misinformation about coronavirus right now. From The Guardian, quote, social media companies have already been trying to tackle the spread of false medical information, with Facebook and Twitter both putting the NHS at the top of search results when UK users search for coronavirus. But that has not stopped false information spreading online, including the incorrect claim that antimicrobial sanitizer is not effective against viruses. In fact, alcohol-based gels are effective in killing COVID-19. Last week, a senior U.S. State Department official, Leah Gabriel, told Congress that Russia was behind swarms of online false personas spreading coronavirus falsehoods and that the entire ecosystem of Russian disinformation is at play. Which, by the way, is that maybe what part of the economy crashing is for? One of the most repeated stories is that the latest strain of coronavirus was created in a Western laboratory, or that it was a biological weapon created by the U.S. or someone else. Scientists, in fact, believe it emerged in humans in China with close contact with a bat, pangolin, or other animal. The disinformation efforts resemble a KGB campaign from the 1980s known as Operation Infection, whose key goal was to plant the idea that the CIA or the U.S. military was somehow behind the AIDS epidemic. Which I found curious, right? I didn't know that. I didn't know that there was some Russian psyop for that back in the day. Because I'd heard that before about the AIDS thing, and there's lots of weird theories about AIDS and HIV connected to this coronavirus as well. 5G, that's the hot one. Is 5G connected to this? There's a bit of truth to pull in that China and South Korea have both been full steam ahead with 5G. South Korea was the first to launch. China has like 2 million transmitters. So some of the conspiracies are that 5G is activating the coronavirus. But, you know, I don't know how much I believe that because coronaviruses have been around, right? If you read up on a little bit on this whole thing, it's the distinct shape of the virus with the crowns, and this COVID-19 is just a new one, okay? So coronaviruses themselves aren't new. It's not created by 5G. Now, 5G could play a part in all this when we look at the digital matrix, which I'm going to get into here in just a minute when we wrap this up, because we're getting close to the end. Hopefully not for good. Hopefully not the big end. 5G... Okay, yeah, predictive programming. That's where we're going next. The Simpsons. Always predictive programming everything. They had an episode called Marge and Chains about the Osaka flu coming to the East. Maybe, right? Maybe that's a little predictive programming. A lot of people are like, oh, they also had Tom Hanks getting quarantined in the 2007 Simpsons movie. I've never seen the movie. I saw the clip that I think they're referring to, and there's no talk of a quarantine. It was just Tom Hanks. And he says something. I mean, he says something to the effect of like, if you see me, leave me alone. So maybe, right? I don't know. And the predictive programming, it's this idea that through sort of sympathetic magic or some kind of contagion magic, we manifest a reality, putting the thoughts out into the universe. And that's why we're talking about all these different examples. The Illuminati card game that always comes up during all these events. It shows up so often. It has an epidemic card, which says that there would be total devastation, not necessarily destruction, from a global pandemic. But look, I mean, people have been talking about epidemics and pandemics for years. Years. I mean, that's one of the things that warning is going to wipe us out as a civilization. And maybe it will, right? Another curiosity, there's a World War of the Worlds TV series on Epix. A new rendition of it. And the last version I saw was 2005 with Tom Cruise's film version. And the aliens left after they couldn't fight all the microbes and bacteria on Earth. So, a couple shows ago, I talked about this fringy theory about a guy said, oh, the coronavirus is, they're spreading it to scare the aliens away. That's probably where that idea came from. Another curiosity, and this goes into the digital matrix concept here we're going to talk about. Westworld Season 3 just started, March 15th. And that's, of course, a Gnostic film about the prison planet. So, now, my final words of advice for you. Like I said, I wanted to give you more facts, more supporting data than this, but I had to hurry up. Also, time is of the essence. A lot of people are panicking right now. One thing I learned reading The Worry Cure, It's a book about fear and anxiety. Because I have a lot of anxiety, right? A lot of anxiety, which leads to depression. And I'm going to sum it up for you. Basically, people get fear and anxiety, and they try to alleviate it with control. They try to alleviate it by finding out facts, finding out data to put their mind at ease. But there's not always data out there for you. You can't always live at ease. You have to live with a certain amount of uncertainty. I know that's hard to hear. I know that's tough to live by. It's easier said than done. But we have to live with a little bit of uncertainty that maybe things aren't going to turn out okay with this thing. We have to find a place to be at ease with that. Maybe not. Maybe they don't know what's going on here. Maybe they don't have enough test kits. All you can do is to try to alleviate your mind. Like I said, the mind looks for ways to calm itself. There's actionable responses and non-actionable responses. So an actionable response in this moment of time is you want to get your immune system up, because we don't know much about this. We don't know who's going to get it. We don't know how many people are going to die from it. So all you can do is get your immune system up, and the steps to doing that, of course, try not to stress out. Try to eat healthy. Try to dodge the sugar. The sugar is like toxic, right? Try to eat healthy. Try to get enough sleep. Try not to stress out. You can even do some meditation. I know a lot of you don't like that. A lot of the Christians out there think I'm pushing the occult New Age agenda with that, because it does have its overlap in there, but a little mindful meditation sometimes helps. But yeah, that's kind of what I would suggest. Now, also one final theory. If we are going to take this route of a conspiratorial agenda on coronavirus, the one I see with the most traction, almost need like a drum roll for number one here. I see they could use all the self-isolation and distancing to make us comfortable with, you know, living our lives out at home, which, as I talked about in my first book, A Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory, there's a film called Surrogates that shows what life could be like for that. And people stay at home and they put on their virtual reality goggles and they live vicariously through their avatar in the digital matrix. Now, the Unabomber, curiously enough, said this was their end game too.
There are computer experts now who are quite seriously, in all seriousness, they propose getting rid of the human race and replacing us with computers. They think we can download our brains, you know, like 50 years from now, they think we can download our brains on computers. And then, in this way, attain immortality as machines. And I think a lot of people,
and what did he type up his manifesto on? What kind of typewriter did he type it up on? A Corona typewriter. So there you go. Boom. So there you go. Try not to stress out. Try to get your immune system up. Get enough sleep. And until next time, my friends, stay woke.